Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Try that again. All right, we're going to start today by going through a few verses just to kind of get us going a little bit, and then we'll jump into a main passage. Two points we're going to be focusing on today, certainly many more, but two to highlight is going to be calling on the name of the Lord, which we just sung that song, and then also this idea of standing. So calling on the name of the Lord and standing. So first, let's go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we'll just read verse 12 and 13, picking up some of these ideas of the name and standing. Romans 10, starting verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, common verses here about the armor, putting on the armor. We'll start in verse 10, go down to 13. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation of God standeth sure. And one more for now. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3. We'll read a few. Starting in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. And just a note I want to read here from the Scofield Bible that says, this revelation of God by his names is invariably made in connection with some particular need of his people, and there can be no need of man to which these names do not answer as showing that man's true resource is in God. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you that we get to call upon the name of the Lord, that in any moment we could just humble ourselves and bow down. So Lord, for anything that's going on today, anything that's coming up against us, I pray that we would be able to seek you out, that we would call on your name and stand. So Lord, I pray that you would take this time, that it would be glorious to you, that your name would be honored, that your name would be magnified. I pray that you would be my strength, and I pray that you would just speak in this moment. Pray that we would have hearts to hear, and it's in the name of Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Still thinking the idea of calling on the name of the Lord and being able to stand. It's fascinating now is those verses in Ephesians saying, having done all to stand, It doesn't say having done all to avoid, or having done all to just get through this one, or having done all to get away from it, or hope it never comes upon you at all. It's having done all so when trouble comes, you could stand firm, standing in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Consider calling on the name and standing. 2 Chronicles 20, starting verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if and when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, their wives, and their children. And we'll stop there for now. This chapter begins with, it came to pass after this also, where it was just another battle, where Jehoshaphat had barely escaped in the previous encounter with this alliance with Ahab. He had just restored order and worship, and now it came to pass after this also. Sometimes that's how it feels in our lives, where we just go through a battle, we just got on the other side of it, we just saw the Lord do something, and here we go again. We have another battle. And it can be discouraging sometimes when you just finished something of last season, you think you're good for a little while, and here comes another one. That's how it starts, and it came to pass after this also, here we go again. And what happens is the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. All these different groups, all these different armies and nations are coming against Judah and Jehoshaphat. And it says that there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. So it seems like those coming up against Jehoshaphat, those coming up against the people of Judah, have been coming for a little while. They have this whole plan against them. I was even reading one commentator that was saying how in order for these children of Moab and Ammon to come to the place where Judah was, that they would have had to pass through other regions who would have allowed this to happen, that they were not defending the people of Judah, that all these things were coming against Jehoshaphat and Judah. And verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Certainly he had a fear of the Lord. He had that reverential trust. He was a man of God. However, this set here is Jehoshaphat literally was afraid. He was scared. He saw what was coming up against him. And he had the normal reaction of, I'm fearful right now. And Jehoshaphat feared. I heard a message this week that said, when your knees start knocking to get down on top of them, meaning when you start feeling that sense of fear and not shying away from it or not thinking, oh, I know I shouldn't be afraid type of thing, acknowledge that real fear, but then bring it before the Lord. Get ahead of it early. I feel that fear. I'm going to go to God first. God is the only one I could go to. God is the only one that could save me from this. And that's what Jehoshaphat does. He has that real fear, but he sets himself to seek the Lord. He sets himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now let's pause for a minute and let's go over to Psalms for a few verses. Let's go to chapter 34 of Psalms. It's interesting here if you see the progression that Jehoshaphat first sought the Lord and then he calls the rest of the people of Judah together to seek the Lord together. That Jehoshaphat wasn't going to call out the assembly to pray before God when he himself didn't do it first. It's a good lesson to any leaders is if you're going to ask of others to do something, do you first do it yourself? If you're going to encourage others to pray, are you first seeking the Lord in prayer? Psalm 34, verse 4. Real simple. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I was talking to a brother recently, and we were saying how complicated we make things seem in our Christian walk sometimes, where we think we have to do these spectacular things or have to put in the work or have to try harder and press and do all these things. And the Lord is so simple, where it just says, I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. Yes, I feel that fear. Where can I go? I'm just going to seek the Lord. It's that simple. Psalm 121. Psalm 121, we'll read verse 1 and 2. It reads, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from where cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then chapter 124, in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It's that simple. I sought the Lord, he heard, and he answered, and my help comes from the Lord. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20. So Jehoshaphat feared, but the first thing he does is set himself to seek the Lord. He knows that his help comes from the Lord. If he's going to get through this one, if he's going to stand before the armies coming against him, he has to do it in the name of the Lord. And that's the reaction we should have whenever we face things that come against us is before I get all anxious and get all up in my thoughts, trying to figure things out, can I just bow down and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. That's where my help comes from. So Jehoshaphat seeks the Lord, and then he proclaims a fast throughout all of Judah. Remember, this idea of fasting is to have that dedication to the Lord, that dependence on him, that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to fix my focus on the Lord, and I'm just going to let him do his thing. So that he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together. It's a fascinating thing. You think of Judah, it's an entire nation's entire group of people that once it's put out there, hey, we're going to have a fast, and we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to do it together, that all the people come together to seek the Lord, to ask help of the Lord. The help comes from the Lord. It said, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everyone was on the same page. Everyone was in one accord. Everyone was getting their hearts right to not bring their own opinions or their own military strategies into how they're going to figure this one out. They came together and they sought the Lord. I wonder if the things that you're going through, is there people around you that you could get together with and say, let's just seek the Lord together on this one. Verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. So here Jehoshaphat has to stand before the people. He calls all the people together and he has to stand before them in order to address the people. And he's able to stand before the people and say what they're going to do and seek the Lord because he first sought the Lord himself. He could stand before the whole congregation because he was able to stand before the Lord. Verse 6, and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? It's an interesting question where it's saying, art thou now God in heaven? Of course you are. That's how Jehoshaphat is addressing it, is, of course you're God in heaven. So only you are going to be able to handle this one. And he's asking these questions, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? This is fascinating too, because all these kingdoms, they did not all worship the one true God. They had set up all their other idols and all these different gods that they would worship. And Jehoshaphat is calling and saying that even though those people don't worship you, you're still in control over all those nations. You're still on the throne. You're still the God in heaven. And you still rule over all these kingdoms, even if they're not calling on your name. Art thou not God in heaven? First sense, it's almost as if Jehoshaphat is reminding the Lord of who he is. But at the same time, he's reminding himself of who the Lord is and who he's calling on in this situation. Whenever you're up against something that seems so great and that's coming against you and you don't know what to do, it's good to remember who you're calling out to. When you're going and calling out before the Lord and saying, I know that God can handle this one, can you first address him and say, you know what? I get to call on the name of the Lord. That's a pretty awesome thing. People who don't have this gift of salvation, who don't have that relationship with the Lord, when trouble comes upon them, they have nowhere to go. But we have this treasure that we can call on the Lord in any moment and say, wait a second, this is coming up against me, but I have a name that's above every name. I have a God in heaven that I could call on in this moment. It doesn't matter what comes up against me. And that's what Jehoshaphat does as these armies are coming in. The first thing he says is, art not thou God in heaven? The one that I'm calling on, the one that I'm able to have this access to, I get to call on God in heaven. Do you understand how much of a privileged position you have? And it's not just based on the things that happen in your life. You could look at any obstacle that's coming up against you and say, let's go again, God. I have a God in heaven that I can call upon. It's not always a bad thing when the enemies are coming up against you. It says, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Look at the comparison there a little bit to what we started in Ephesians, where we were saying, having done all to stand. And now here, Jehoshaphat is saying, there's no one that's able to stand against you, Lord. So if no one is able to stand up to God, if no one's able to challenge him in any way, we could stand firm because we're standing in God. We're not standing on our own strengths. No one can stand up to God, and if we're standing in God, then nothing's going to stand up to you either. No, none is able to withstand thee. Continues this questioning in verse 7, art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. Now Jehoshaphat is going back to previous encounters that the people had and how God delivered them there. And I think that's important too, as you're facing obstacles in your own life. If you're going into something where it seems like, here we go again, can you stop and consider what he's done for you already in the past? Oh, wait a second. I had this thing up against me 2 years ago, and he delivered me from that. How is this any different than that one? And I think sometimes that fear comes from that first initial reaction is not knowing what to do, but also just thinking that I can't get through this one. And I think that that's where that fear comes. That first thought is, I can't do this on my own. And in those moments, can you remind yourself of the victories of the past? And that's what Jehoshaphat does here by saying, your God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. God, you made this promise. You gave us this land. So these people who are up against us to try to take it from us, they're not going to stand a chance because you promised that this is our land. Do you lean back on the promises of God? Do you stand in those promises that, Lord, you promised me this. The situation doesn't show that I'm going to be able to outlast this. The situation doesn't show that this is going to go any further. But Lord, you promised me this, and that's enough that I at least have to see this one through. I think so often when we have these troubles come against us, our first reaction is thinking that, oh, it's the end of it. The enemy is always going to challenge your land, whatever that may be. He's going to challenge things that God has set up in your life, because if he can't stop God from blessing you, he's going to try to get you in this position where you don't even see the blessing anymore. This was their promised land, and the enemy's coming to get it. And Jehoshaphat says, did you not do this in the past? You're going to do it now here too. This idea of questioning over and over again is not only bringing it before the Lord in a way that's reminding the Lord of what he's done, but it's also reminding Jehoshaphat and the people of what was already done in the past. This is just another one. It's not that big of a deal. Verse 8 says, and they dwelt there and have built a sanctuary there for thy name, saying. And this verse 9 is fascinating here. It says, if and when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. If and when evil comes upon us, they had set up this house for this exact reason. For when trials were to come, and it lists an example, if there's sword, if it's judgment, if it's pestilence, if it's famine, whatever it is, whatever comes against you, whatever comes against us, we have set up this place to call upon the name of the Lord. Again, thinking about those verses of putting on the armor of God so that you're able to stand. It's that preparation for, yeah, these things are going to come upon us. But when they come, we're going to be able to stand. They're not taken by surprise, or when this evil comes upon them, now it's a panic mode and we got to figure all these things out. They were already prepared for anything that would come against them. And I wonder in our day-to-day lives, even if you're not in a situation right now where you feel like the enemies are coming up against you, even if you feel like you're in a season where things are going really good, can you have your heart prepared and the armor put on so that, okay, a day might be coming when things aren't so good? Will I be able to stand against it? Or am I just holding on to things of the past? Or am I just holding on or trying to avoid, or just, oh, another day where I didn't have a trial? Or is it, you know what, if this comes my way today, if I have to face this today, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand on that foundation of Christ. It was already put in place for what they were going to do when trouble came. And what they were going to do is they were going to stand in this house and call on the name of the Lord. They were going to seek the Lord, and he was going to hear and answer and be their help. It says, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Just give an idea, more history of what has led to this point, what the people of Israel and now the people of Judah have endured to come upon this position. It's basically just laying it all out before the Lord and not just accepting that this is our fate, that these enemies are too big for us, this situation is too big for us. Instead, it's just listing out all these things. Wait a second, you're God. Wait a second, you're ruling over all. Wait a second, you are able to stand up against anything. No one's able to stand against you. Wait a second, you've done this in the past. Wait a second, you brought us this far. So then it switches your confidence and your perspective to now, okay, I'm in a battle, but I have the upper hand. And it changes these things, and it's not to flee from it, but it's to stand for it. And I wonder if this will help us in our prayer lives when you come across something where you feel stuck, or you come across something that you never thought would come up against you. Can you list out the things that the Lord has done? Get your eyes focused back on the Lord, and then you could see the situation more clearly and say, oh, this is for God's glory. This is for my benefit, even though to the rest of the world and on the surface, this looks like a very difficult situation. Keep bringing it, listing it out to the Lord. I loved how our brother a few weeks ago was saying how in our prayer lives, even though the Lord already knows everything before we even ask him, the Lord just wants to hear our perspective. And by doing this, by bringing our perspective to the Lord, we gain that confidence in prayer that we could go again, that we could stand again, that we have all the tools, that we have all the armor to go again. Verse 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. I think that's, on the surface, again, it looks very daunting. It looks like I have no way out of this. But it's also so exciting sometimes when you're in the midst of a trial and you get to that point where the only way out of this is God. When you get to that point of, this is my strength, this is where my strength has gotten me, these are my plans, and they're not working right now. So I know that I have no strength, I have no might against this one. So that must mean that the only way I get out of this one is God has to do something great. For we have no might against this great company. It's fascinating to me how when Jehoshaphat hears the news of these enemies coming up against him, that he doesn't call in these army leaders and start forming this military strategy of, oh, maybe we have a chance if we fight this way. He says, you know what? We're not going to win this one. We have no might against this one. Also, too, recognize the fact that he's praying this to the assembly, the whole congregation of Judah, as the king saying, I don't know how to get through this one. I have no might in this one. We don't have, in our own strength, we can't beat this one. We can't stand against this enemy if we do it ourselves. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. It was read this morning, blessed are the poor in spirit, And that's in any trial, that's the first thing we should have, is that idea that our own strength, our own might, we don't have it, we're not going to get through. But we have a name that's above every name, and we get to call on that name. Having that humility to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to flee from it. I'm not going to avoid it. I don't know what to do. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, and I'm going to stand. So let's read now through 19 and see how the Lord answers. We'll pick it up. 13 says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You do not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites, of the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And we'll stop there for now. So you have this enemies coming against Jehoshaphat is in fear, but he seeks the Lord first, knows that his help comes from the Lord only, gathers all the people together, has this prayer before the Lord, reminding the Lord and reminding themselves of all the great things that the Lord can do, and they're trusting on him and him alone. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. They're all ready to hear what the Lord would have to say. And that's another thing, too. When you're praying, do you just stay still and let the Lord answer? Are you so quick to bring it before the Lord and then you react and you want to go help and you want to go figure things out and you have all these things in your mind of how the Lord is going to answer? Can you just pause for a second and just be still and see what he has to say? And the answer comes to Jahaziel, and he brings it before Jehoshaphat, and he recites this, which throughout the Old Testament is repeated time after time again, this idea of be not afraid, don't be discouraged by the reason of this great multitude. I know this. I know you're dealing with this. I know you're going through this right now. I know it's scary on the surface, but I hear you, and I can help you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. This battle, it's not even yours, but God's. This thing that's up against you, it's not because of anything you did. I find that fascinating, too. A lot of people, when they are in this situation where they feel stuck, seems like a common thing that we get into, this idea of being stuck. And in that moment, people a lot of the times will have this attitude of, you know, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I feel like I've been reading the Bible more, I've been praying more, I feel like I've been doing everything right, yet my situation just isn't getting any better. And I think it's important for us to understand that when we're calling on the Lord, when we're walking in the Lord, that the things on the surface don't always need to match. That just because we're doing things right doesn't mean that the surface level of things are going to show themselves how we expected. It's not do good, good things will happen to you. Do bad, bad things are going to happen to you. Sometimes you are doing everything the Lord is asking you to do, and there's still a trial in front of you. Because the Lord is trying to give you a deeper revelation of who He is, and He's trying to give you a blessing, and we're going to get to that in a minute of what this blessing was. But sometimes you are doing everything right, and this trial comes upon you, and that's your reward for doing what was right, for standing still. Now the Lord is going to show that you put on the armor, a fight's coming, you're going to be able to stand against it. It's not do everything right so that you avoid situations. It's walk with the Lord so that no matter what comes against you, you could stand against it. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Go to the cliff. You shall find them, the end of the brook. And then verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. But what you have to do is set yourselves standing still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. There was still a response that they had to do. They had to go show up. They had to go stand there and watch what the Lord was going to do. And in your situation, maybe that's the answer today. As you've been going through all these hypotheticals of this is what I should be doing, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to happen, and you're just racing around in your mind, and you feel like you're just going around and around in circles, and nothing's happening. And maybe your answer is to just stay still. Maybe you're not stuck. Maybe you're just standing. The response for this great multitude against them was to show up, stand there, and just watch the Lord work. Again, like we were talking earlier, sometimes we make things so complicated. All we got to do is just call on the name of the Lord in humility, understanding that my strength is never going to get there. And then just watch Him work. I love how it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Just stand there and watch. Let Him do His thing. Let Him do His thing. This battle's not even yours. You don't even have to fight in it. All these hypotheticals you've been running around in your mind, they're never going to happen anyway. Just stand. Be still. Be silent. Let the Lord work. He's been at this a long time. There's none able to withstand Him. So stand in Him and be still. Jehoshaphat's response in verse 18, he says, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The response here again is, we're just going to bow down and worship. We're not going to be anxious. We're not going to try to learn all these different military strategies. We're not going to try to find all these weapons. Why? Because worship is our weapon. You can stand still in the battle when you just worship. When you just call in the name of the Lord. You don't have to have the answer. You don't need other tools. You don't need things from other places. You have everything you need for this battle, because you have the name above every other name. Verse 20 says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Jehoshaphat's command against this battle was to appoint singers. Just start praising the Lord. There's a song that says, sing a little louder. And I love this idea. It's stuck with me for a while. And as these things start to come against you, and it seems like it's battle after battle, and it's just opposition against opposition, and that challenge you're in just seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, can you just keep singing louder and louder and louder and say, my praise is going to outshine whatever comes against me. I'm going to stand still and I'm just going to worship. Because in my strength, I have no chance against what's coming against me. Some of you in this room have something you're against that you have no chance of getting out of. Unless you call on the name of the Lord. And start worshiping and start praising. And just watch him work. And then you're going to have blessing. And then you're going to have that story of, I was in rock bottom. I was at a point where there was no way out of this one. And you're going to find that the Lord used those things to give you blessing beyond what you can even comprehend. What ends up happening in the story is all these enemies that come up against the people of Judah, what happens, and it's fascinating where it says in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, when they started offering praises to the Lord started working, and the armies started attacking each other. The people of Judah didn't even have to raise a sword at all, and all their enemies collapsed. So much so, in verse 25, and we won't read it, it says that it took them 3 days to gather all the spoils. It took them 3 days to gather all the blessings. And on the surface, again, this battle is coming up against you, and you might think, oh no, I just want to get through this. I want to get out of it. I want to avoid it. By them standing still in the battle, they got 3 days worth of spoils. 3 days worth of blessing, and they didn't even have to raise a sword. They just had to raise their voices. And we'll read verse 26. It says, on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for they had blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. That even after the battle, even after they received this blessing, they went back and blessed the name of the Lord. They claimed that it was the Lord who did this, and they named it the Valley of Blessing. With all of this, don't run when the battle shows up on your door. Are you prepared and willing to stand? Because it might be the thing that the Lord is trying to use in order to bless you in that situation. Be able to get yourself from saying, I'm stuck. I'm not stuck, I'm just standing still. There's a fine line between stuck and standing still. Let's go over to Acts, and we'll close in Acts. Acts chapter 4. Still thinking about calling on the name of the Lord. Still thinking about standing. Acts chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We'll get verse 10 again. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. We can only stand if we're standing in him. There is no other name except Jesus Christ for what he had done. There is no other name to call out to. There is no other thing to run to. Can you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this time. I thank you that we can open your word. I thank you that all things in Scripture point to you. And I thank you for the work that was done on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, laying it all down, laying down his weapons, and just standing for our salvation, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for anyone in here who might be in a battle right now. I pray that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened, and stand in the name that is above every name. Lord, this is your battle. Take your battle back. Help us to lay our weapons down and offer up our worship. Lord, we love you. We thank you. It's in the name of Lord Jesus Christ I pray.